It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 169. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I yap about Ziggy Ansah and his potentially weakened Detroit Tigers headed into the playoffs. We then talk about men's basketball, including the results of the Gonzaga game, and then some of the players, including Anson Winder and Kyle Collinsworth, who are stepping up in a big way this season. We then talk about football, what the coaching staff might look like in 2015, and all the craziness happening on Twitter regarding Kyle Whittingham and the Big 12. Once again, this is the Rise and Shout podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. Download us on iTunes or listen to us right now. Rise and Shout podcast, Matt. Merry Christmas to you, brother.
Merry Christmas to you. Same to you, buddy.
And New Year's coming up. Are you going to stay up till midnight this year?
Probably. Absolutely.
Do you every year stay up till midnight?
Yeah, especially now. As we've talked about before, my firstborn celebrates his birthday on January 1st.
That's
true. Because that was the day he was born.
Yes, that's a good reason to celebrate it then.
And on our street, because I live in Texas and fireworks are basically a year-round thing.
Of course they are.
And, there's a guy down the street.
And there's guys shooting guns into the air too, probably.
Yep. There's a guy down the street who fills a Suburban with fireworks on the 4th of July and on New Year's Eve. And I'm not exaggerating. I know we've been accused of hyperbole on this show. This is not an exaggeration. This guy literally will bring home a whole Suburban full of fireworks.
I never exaggerate.
I don't believe in exaggeration. I don't even believe it exists.
Yeah. Yeah. Prove that. Prove
anyway,
that.
Anyway, so at the stroke of midnight, I will be awake, whether by choice or by force. So I will go ahead and choose to be awake.
Oh. Cool.
And it will be awesome.
We have our 8-year-old wants to stay up till midnight the first time this year. And the other night I was putting her to bed, and her response was, "Well, Dad, I should probably stay up tonight to practice."
Good thinking.
I know. She's smart.
She's brilliant.
Yes, I know. I was actually more impressed than I was.
That's really good.
Yeah, so I told her, no, you don't actually have to practice that.
No, you're such a wet towel.
I am. That actually is my nickname.
You're such a party pooper.
Towel and party pooper. That's why they invited me.
That's right.
Every party needs one. So, Matt, do you watch any holiday movies as a tradition?
Do I watch any holiday movies?
Like every year, is there something you have to watch? White
Elf.
Christmas, Elf, yes. Certainly, good call.
I'm just being honest with you. I have to watch Elf.
Any others?
I like to watch It's a Wonderful Life. Didn't watch it this year.
Neither did I, for the first year in a long time.
What else do I really like for holiday movies?
Let's see. What are some of the best Christmas movies? I pulled up one list and it was so terrible I couldn't look at it. It had Harold and Kumar in the top 10.
Oh,
Christmas
boy.
Movie, so.
Yeah, that's not really a list I would be interested in.
Let's see. Christmas Story, do you rewatch that one?
Not necessarily every year, but I'll watch it.
I'll watch pieces of it. White Christmas, Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye.
I've not seen White Christmas in a long time.
All right. I'm going to quote a line from this movie, and then I know you're going to know it, and then you tell me if you ever watch it. And we did with our children this year, and they got a kick out of it.
I already know what the line is.
Not the rat. Light the lamp, not the rat.
Muppet's Christmas Carol, my friend.
Muppet's Christmas Carol. It actually, as an adult, it's actually pretty clever. And like,
it's a good telling of the story, actually.
It is. It is a good. And 50-something-year-old Michael Caine, he looks a lot older now than he did in that one. Let's see. Any others on this list? Miracle on 34th Street, either old or new?
I haven't seen it in a really long time.
Me either. I haven't either. Home Alone, like, I don't I don't feel like that's an actual Christmas movie, but
no, Home Alone could be watched any time of year. But yeah, if you're watching like White Christmas in June, you've got issues.
Yeah, you've got issues. What about The Grinch? Do you care for the Jim Carrey version?
I actually don't care for the Jim Carrey version. Neither I prefer the original animated.
So do I. We watched that this year. What about Charlie
Brown? We actually
Brown?
Had we had a Grinch party with cousins this year. It was the kids had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, Grinch is awesome. What about what did I just say? Charlie Brown.
It's good. Didn't see it this year.
We did see it this year. I'll tell you, it. I love those as a kid. They are not my kids' favorites. Its pacing is really slow, and you know they just don't get into it the way I think I did. Or maybe I'm just misremembering how much I liked it as a kid. I think I liked the Halloween one, The Great Pumpkin, better.
The Great Pumpkin is good.
It's
pretty great.
Quite a good one. So, all right, Matt, let's move on from that and talk about what we actually talk about on this podcast.
Oh, I thought that was what we actually talk about on this podcast.
That's true. It's true. I'm going to get at the end to more movie stuff, but we'll get there in a minute. So, Matt, first up, cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
So, Ziggy Ansah is going to the playoffs.
Yes, he is.
And had a good season. Is now considered one of the top, you know, young pass rushers. Not maybe elite yet, but could get there. And he's having a good season. Vannoy, because of his injury, didn't really get into the rotation at linebacker a whole lot. Hopefully next year he will. But the big news, unfortunately, for them out of Detroit is, how do you say his first name? Sue's first name?
Ndamukong Suh?
Yes.
I have to kind of run at it and say the whole thing at once.
He has been suspended for stepping on Aaron Rodgers' leg.
Mm.
Did you see the play?
I did.
And do you think that second step was on purpose, like yes. The NFL office does?
Absolutely.
Yes, I do as well. I'll walk you through my reasoning, okay? The first step on someone's leg would make most people say, oh, I just stepped on someone's leg. I should probably step forward with my next step.
Yeah. Oh, there was a leg there. I might actually look down or look back.
Yes.
What is it that I just stepped on?
Yes. And the fact that he does not look and just takes another step back, it's, oh gosh. Is he fixable, or is he like that biting soccer guy?
Well, let me ask you this question. Like, what, when you say fixable, I mean, what's the objective there? To get him to stop doing those things?
Yes, so he doesn't get suspended for a freaking playoff game. Like,
no,
that's
I don't
terrible.
Think that's going to do it. I don't think that's going to do it. But you had a team that was systematically trying to injure opponents. And look at what they did to those guys. Does suspending Ndamukong Suh for a single game, when this is not the first time we've seen this type of a thing, seem to stack up correctly against the way the Saints were treated?
Well, let me throw another one at you, okay? You take a performance-enhancing drug, the minimum penalty, I think, in the NFL is 6 games, and then Josh Gordon got busted for smoking pot, which is legal in a lot of states, okay? And he missed, because it was his second or third offense or whatever, like, 14 games or 12 games, whatever, Josh Gordon. Isn't what Sue did and what the other Lions player did worse than that? Isn't it? Like, I get it. Suspend the guys for doing the performance-enhancing drugs. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But if Sue has kept doing this, and what happens if his cleat goes into Aaron Rodgers' calf and Aaron Rodgers is out for the playoffs?
Yeah.
Now, it didn't happen. But what, I mean, the impact of that on the Green Bay franchise, their window is going to close eventually with Rodgers. And this could be a year they could win the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm with you. I think one game is actually kind of ridiculous. Low. Ridiculously low.
It just doesn't seem to measure up to me.
No.
It just doesn't stack up right.
But anyway, so Ziggy may or may not, depending on Sue's appeal, may not be lining up with Sue on Saturday or Sunday. I forget which day their game is. But anyway, let's move on, Matt, to the Gonzaga game.
Yay.
I was going to pull up the box score. So, Matt, close, big comeback, down by 16, got back in it, end up losing. Do you see this? Last week we talked about how we were kind of still up on the team. Does this make your excitement for the team go up, go down, or stay the same?
It's about the same. I mean, this is the same stuff that we've seen so far from this team, right? They'll be able to stay in it with some of the top opponents that they play, but not get it done. You know, I mean, you're tied at half.
Yeah, they came back. They were down by, I think, 16 is the number. I'm with you. It doesn't make me feel worse, but it doesn't necessarily make me feel better. Nate Austin would have helped, having another big body. They are very big. Karnowski, Wiltjer, whatever you say his last name, they are very good in the middle. Now, here's the interesting part, Matt. They played 8 guys. Rose played 10.
Oh, yeah.
Is that...
I mean, look at the points off the bench. They had 15 points off the bench. BYU had 40.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at it, Corbin Kafusi, 22 minutes. Anson Winder, 34. That wasn't a shocker. He's been playing a lot of minutes, and Fisher was obviously still ailing from an injury. But Bartley, 11, and Jake Toulson, 15 minutes. And actually, Toulson looked okay. I mean, he didn't factor in a ton. But we're talking about a guy that did not play against Weber State or Utah, and plays 15 minutes against a top 10 team. Now, the Portland game is about wrapping up as we're recording this, and Haas has bounced back. Are you at all worried about Haas being a little cold lately? Do you think this is just one of those things where he's a scorer and he gets cold? I mean, his field goal percentage is actually above what he was last year. So are you at all worried about Tyler Haas?
Not quite yet. This could just be a lull.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to hit the panic button on Tyler Haas yet.
Yeah, me either. I mean, he's, like I said, he's got a higher field goal percentage. His three-point shooting is close to the same, though he's taking almost two more three-pointers per game. Free throws, it's about the same. And if you look at all of his other stats, rebounds, assists, they're up over last year. So I'm with you. I'm not...
9 for 9 from the charity stripe.
Yeah, I'm not.
In the Gonzaga game, I mean.
I'm not worried.
Just in a funk.
So Andre Hutchins on Twitter, that's at @AC_Hutchins. He heard our conversation last week where I said something crazy, like maybe Kyle Collinsworth is better than Haas. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember how I said that?
That was crazy.
What he said was, just finished the recent podcast, interesting thoughts about Haas and Collinsworth. See, he thought what I said was interesting.
Interesting and crazy can coexist.
That's true. They're not mutually exclusive. Neither can do what the other can, and that is absolutely true. They're not the same type of player, right?
Agreed.
And now Collinsworth has 2 triple-doubles to his credit and is the all-time leader in triple-doubles at BYU.
I mean, that's pretty good. A triple-double,
awesome.
And he came up big in a big game with the triple-double last weekend, right? I mean, yeah. I think is a good takeaway from the
game. Yes. He thinks right now, that's he meaning Andre, Collinsworth is more valuable, heaven forbid, but if one went down for the rest of the season, granted he used 3 tweets to get to this, I think I would choose Haas, and I think what he's saying is he'd rather have Haas injured than Collinsworth. I responded to him on Twitter, Matt, do you agree or disagree with this statement? It doesn't matter if we lose either of them, we're host.
That is true.
I don't think either of those players get injured. There's nobody, maybe Fisher can kind of play the Haas role a little bit, but there definitely is nobody that can do what, and I think that's what Andre's saying, there's nobody on the bench that can do what... do what Collinsworth can do. I mean, nobody can play point guard while averaging like, you know, 7 rebounds a game or whatever his number is at the moment.
That is the definition of picking your poison.
Yes, yes, it is definitely that. Yeah, he's at 7.8 rebounds per game, which is actually, you know, I think one of the top figures in the West Coast Conference. And he's our point guard. It's true. All right, so Matt, getting back to Corbin Cavusi for a minute, he's actually shooting a free throw as I speak in the Portland game here towards the end. I thought he would not end up being a major part of this based on the fact that he has now played meaningful minutes and well, at least defensively. Is this, do you think we've got a big man for the future here that could be, you know, I mean, obviously not in the Mika conversation, he's not that skilled, but are we talking about a guy that 3 years from now, when we have the full team, or 2 years from now, when we've got all these great recruits, Cavusi is still playing meaningful minutes?
I think Cavusi continues to be a contributor down the road when we've got all these guys back.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's true. I mean, he's... Yeah. They talked about it on the ESPN broadcast on Saturday. He's very athletic. He is very active. He's still learning the game of basketball. But his improvement so far has been pretty good. I'm impressed. Now let's talk about somebody whose improvement maybe hasn't been there, and that is Skylar Halford. He had some key three-pointers. I just still feel like he's a little bit lost. And whenever he's playing point guard and bring the ball up, I'm very nervous.
I think everybody is. I feel like, and you know, and sometimes I'll watch a game with the Twitter, which I know is like a terrible mistake.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
especially
the
last weekend. Twitter was
insane.
But I feel like there's like a collective holding of breath.
Yes. And the thing is, he's a max effort guy, right? I mean, the guy is giving everything.
He's got grit.
He's got grit.
I'm going to love his grit.
So I certainly don't want to knock him in that way. I just want to say that if he's playing meaningful minutes, that means some other guys are hurt or not contributing. I would really like to see Bartley end up taking those minutes, but the problem is Bartley makes a lot of dumb decisions when he has the basketball in his hands. But he's a good defender. He's a good defender, and I think as we get towards tournament time, when you're not playing West Coast Conference teams, you need those defensive guys on the perimeter, which right now I think we probably only have Collinsworth as a plus defender in the regular rotation as far as the Winder too, as plus defenders on the perimeter. At this point in the rotation. So, Matt, let me see. Did I miss anything about this game? Miss anything? I don't think so.
No, I think that's about it. Yeah, we've hit the stuff that I
had. We talked about this last week, reiterate it. Winder is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The leap we talked about that we weren't sure if he would make this year in our preview podcast, he's made it. He is now making big shots. He is as key to this team as anyone not named Hawes and Collinsworth.
Yep.
Him and Fisher are the next guys on that list that, you know, if you couldn't lose Hawes or Collinsworth, you're certainly losing Winder and or Fisher would be very damaging to chances. So let's get to kind of rest of the season stuff. Let's do a little over-under, Matt.
Over-under.
All right. Over-under. Right now, Tyler Hawes is averaging, where is he? Tyler Hawes, 21.9 points, which is a little bit down for him from last year. Over under 22.5 points per game by the end of the season for Mr. Tyler Hawes.
Over.
I agree with you. I think he will pad his stats in conference play against some fairly mediocre competition.
And I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it was he needed to average 21.8 to catch a Jimmer.
That sounds right. So we're saying he's going to pass the Jimmer.
Yep.
he'll pass the Jimmer. Let's see. Right now, Collinsworth is averaging 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists a game. Over under those numbers, 13, 8, and 6 for him by the end of the year. Up or down on all those numbers moving together?
I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to take the under. I think the rebounds will come down as Austin hopefully gets healthy and he won't have to do quite as much. Because right now on free throws, he is often the other guy on the block.
Yeah.
Besides, like, say, Kafusi or Nielsen Worthington, he's the other guy on the block. And if you've got Austin in the rotation, you may not need to do that so much. So over under 3.5 conference losses for the Cougars in the
under conference.
I know you're under. I think they're going to be 3. I'm not sure if there's going to be 4. We're going to lose another game somewhere along here.
Yeah, I'm not going to be shocked by that.
St. Mary's in wherever, where are they? California or whatever. Portland. I mean, there's a couple of places where I think we could lose on the road. I do think we end the year at home in conference play with just the loss to Gonzaga.
That sounds reasonable. And I don't think it's crazy to think that we might drop one other than Gonzaga.
Yeah,
I don't think that's silly, but 4 I feel like is a little bit of a stretch. I don't know that I see 4.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I won't disagree with you. I won't disagree with you. So Matt, based on what we've got here, let's say BYU seeding in the NCAA tournament. Let's first go with the first one. Will they make the tournament?
Yeah.
I am a little worried about their out-of-conference play. Meaning, the Purdue loss is looking worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because Purdue maybe isn't as good as we thought they'd be. I'm pulling them up. So, you know, they don't have like a marquee out-of-conference win, right? They missed those chances against Utah, which would have been a great victory to have. San Diego State would have been terrific to put on the resume. You know, Utah State may be that victory, but I don't think Utah State's good enough. The question is, Matt, will those good losses, quote-unquote, be enough?
I don't think good losses get you in.
It certainly is better than having a crappy out-of-conference schedule, right? But I'm with you, and that Purdue loss, that Purdue's now 8-5. They've lost 3 straight games going into their home game against Minnesota here in a couple of nights.
Including a loss to Gardner Webb.
Yeah, it's not.
Isn't that Jason Bourne's original name? No, it's David Webb.
And that's close. Close. I don't know, man. I think they make it, but I think if they really want to solidify, they got to beat Gonzaga one time this year, either in the tournament or when they're up in Spokane, which I think they can do. They prove they can hang with them, but they need one of those games to really like say they're in. And of course, obviously, if you win the tournament, you're in regardless, but. That's why I think they do. So let's assume they make it for a second. Can we do that? Can we assume
okay.
that?
So we'll go ahead. We'll get in our assuming machine.
We'll go into the assuming machine. And what seed over under 11.5 the seed?
Over. Meaning I think they have a higher seed.
I agree with you. I think they get like a 12.
Yeah.
And they may have to do one of those 12-seed play-in games.
Yep.
Which is not good. They really needed one of those Utah or San Diego State. That would be huge right now. That would be huge.
That would be very good, but It didn't happen. So you look at the resume and you think, you know, a team that's going to hope to get in on the merits of some quality losses, I don't know how much more you can hope for than that.
Yeah, it's true. San Diego State, of course, is 10-3 and maybe not as good as their preseason, but still quite good. That Utah loss, you know, Utah's 9-2 and looking like a decent team this year. And again, both of those games are games we could have had. Especially San Diego State in double overtime and all that. And then, of course, beating UMass, that loss would have been crushing.
Yes, that would have been.
UMass is not good. You know, it's weird. They play UMass in overtime, and then they hang with one of the best teams in the country in Gonzaga. That's why I think there may be four losses, man, in the conference. Anyway. All right, so let's move on. Let's move back to football. You remember that sport.
Oh, it's the best.
Have you watched
it's the best sport?
Have you watched some bowl games?
I've watched a lot of bowl games. I've watched a little bit more than I actually expected to when we did our extravaganza.
Yes. So, okay, let's go. When we did the extravaganza, okay, we started with the bowl games that happened after that first weekend, right? So, mm-hmm. Utah State, those games, no. Any bowl games stick out to you that you saw that you really enjoyed?
That I really enjoyed.
I enjoyed USC and Nebraska.
Yep, I did enjoy some USC and Nebraska.
Well, we gotta love the Holiday Bowl. I did not see the Pinstripe Bowl. I saw the highlights, looked like a good one. Did you see any of that one?
I watched a little bit of the Pinstripe Bowl, but not enough to really get into it. Independence Bowl, I enjoyed some of that.
Which one's the Independence Bowl?
That was Miami, South Carolina.
Yes, that was good.
That was good. Central Michigan, Western Kentucky, and Popeye's Bahamas Bowl. I'm going to tell you right now, I enjoyed that game.
So did I. That was fun. Both of us, I think, said 0% chance we see any of that game.
I got glued in. I was glued to it.
Same here. And nothing is more exciting than seeing San Diego State lose, especially to Navy.
Yeah, I did actually really enjoy that one, too. I tried to watch the Boca Raton Bowl, but it just was not as entertaining as I had hoped.
There were a couple snoozers out there, and Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. No, I didn't watch any of that game.
I watched the beginning of it, and I was like, "Oh, I see what's going to happen here." Okay, well, we're moving on.
You gotta love the teams that finish with losing records after the bowls. Mm. Like as we're podcasting, Arkansas is obliterating Texas.
I was excited about Arkansas-Texas. I thought that was going to be a fun game.
No, same here, and it's not. It's not a fun game.
Hey, did you see any highlights from the AutoZone Liberty Bowl today?
I have not seen any highlights from the Liberty Bowl. I bet you that was good.
Spoiler alert. First of all, Texas A&M beat West Virginia.
What? You just ruined it for me. It's on my DVR.
Some assistant for Texas A&M pushed a player from West Virginia on two separate occasions.
No. Man.
Once is the guy's running out of bounds, he pushes him as he goes by him. And another time the player's coming out of bounds kind of backwards and slowing down, and he pushes him in the back of the head.
What?
Pushes him with enough force that the player almost starts falling forward.
Man, there's nothing about that in the ESPN recap.
It's craziness.
So that
craziness.
That was during the day today, right?
Yeah, the kickoff was at like 1 or 2 Houston time.
Yeah, I was working today, so.
They had it on one of the TVs on the floor. Usually that's got like MSNBC or something on it. And then I came by and somebody had flipped it to the bowl game and then left.
Yeah.
Then I came by about 5 minutes later and somebody had changed it back and left. It's like, hey, you don't need to change. If you're not going to sit in here, you don't need to change it. Just leave it on the bowl game.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Those of us
bowl game, you chump.
People can just check on it when we're walking by. Whatever. Happy holidays to you too, buddy.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Anyway, so there were some good games. You know, a couple.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed. You know, I look forward to the Hawaii Bowl. That's my Christmas Eve. That was my Christmas Eve entertainment. And that was just not interesting.
No, I don't typically watch any of it.
We got to hear Quezada's number get called.
That
was a blast from the past.
That's something. So Matt, let's talk BYU. You talked about Twitter earlier. Twitter exploded, and it was like some type of traffic accident where you can't look away.
No.
Derek Stevenson basically tweets that he has sources telling him that Kyle Whittingham is in deep negotiations with BYU. So he drops that bomb on the Twitterverse
and
steps back and watches the carnage.
Well, he did come back once to kind of clarify it. And I think at one point he said that they'd had like three meetings or something.
Yes. But here's the problem. Derek has been very clear that he is not a fan of Bronco Mendenhall.
That's true. Yep, I think that's fair to say.
Unfortunately, every time he says anything, it's going to look like he is just trying to stir up trouble for Mendenhall.
Yeah, but do you really? He's not just making this up.
Sure, it could be, but I'm not going to accuse him of that because I have no idea. I think he may be being misled by whoever his source is. You know, the fact that Tom Homo and Kyle Whittingham had a telephone conversation does not mean much of anything, to be honest. They both played at BYU. They know each other. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, two guys chatting, you know, and they try to keep it secret, and then somebody finds out, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, is it possible that Whittingham is using BYU as leverage? Sure. But what leverage? If he goes to Chris Hill and says, BYU is offering me their head coaching job for less money. Eat that, buddy. You know.
Well, Chris Hill might be like, okay, good. Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think.
I've never liked you anyway.
Yeah, we don't seem to get along. So I don't know. I mean, the thing is, the Twitter thing just got insane. And then everyone is awesome. Everyone is basically like, all the anti-Bronco people are just pining for Whittingham.
Yep.
Despite the fact that his team's been pretty mediocre the last few years, right? You know, this season was an improvement. Yeah, he's beat Bronco head to head in these last few times. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think there's any chance Whittingham comes to BYU in any capacity?
Sure. I think there's a chance that could happen.
This year?
Maybe. I feel like it's a real long shot. I'll say that. I believe it'd be a really long shot. But I'm kind of at a point right now where it's almost like nothing would shock me or surprise me anymore. I mean, it's such a crazy town in college football overall, and especially with the kind of the weirdness involved in this rivalry. You know, could there be a scenario where Whittingham says, you know, I'd like to stay in state. This is my home. I'll go back to BYU. I'll coach there, and I'll coach off into the sunset. Mendenhall's, you know, about done anyway. He said he's not going to do this forever. You know, is there some type of scenario or something there plays out? Maybe. I don't know. Do I think it's likely going to happen this year? I don't know. I mean, the words coming out of University of Utah today were, hey, Kyle Whittingham is our coach. And I'm not really sure what saying that was meant to accomplish, but you know, so does that mean that they've definitely come to terms with something that's going to keep Whittingham there, or you know, or even if they haven't, where's he going to go, right?
Yeah.
Do I think Tom Homo is going to go and start negotiating a contract with Whittingham to take over the program without firing Mendenhall or having Mendenhall step down first? No.
Well, as if the timing was perfect, Matt. There was an op-ed today in the Deseret News by a certain former BYU linebacker, Brady Papinga.
Yep.
Now, Brady Papinga is known when he was at BYU and since then on the field, and I don't know anything really about him off the field, though I did actually meet him when I lived in Green Bay area. He was in our stake, so he's my source for all the stories now. I'm just kidding. I just met the guy. But anyway, he basically, the headline is, Bronco Mendenhall is one of the best coaches in all of football.
Yep.
Now, what do you do, Matt, when you've got former players who both like and hate Bronco? Isn't that just kind of what happens with coaches, right? Like,
yeah.
Some guys are going to really, it's going to click, and you're going to be Brady Papenga defending him in an op-ed, and another guy's going to be Dan Levitt and is not going to like it and transfer to Utah State. You know, I know people want to use it as like, oh, Dallin Levitt's transferring, the program's falling apart. People transfer all the time. It happens every
year. Listen, Levitt didn't like it in Provo. There were a lot of things that Levitt didn't like.
No. And quite frankly, if Levitt had been there for the fight, I don't even want to think what would have happened.
What, that might have been a fight? I mean, does it get worse than it did?
Yeah. Levitt was a crazy man. I mean,
can you imagine somebody like a Jordan Pendleton or a Shane Muirbrook in that situation? I mean, they'd be killing guys. It'd be like, well, Jordan killed a guy with a trident. Yeah, Jordan, you might want to lay low for a little while. I mean, that was a scenario you could be looking at with some of these guys that went through. I mean, even when Brady Papenga played, I mean, he was pretty nasty on the field.
Oh yeah, he was very nasty. So doesn't this just happen? I mean, I just think Bronco Mendenhall is a divisive figure because of his PR face or lack thereof, right? And so there are a group of fans that just don't know what to do with him. I think it is fair at this point to criticize his record. The last few years have been pretty mediocre, and I think this season may be his worst season of a coaching job that he's been there. I mean, maybe it's 2010. Maybe those are the two seasons. But that being said, I think he's earned – this isn't like get rid of him time. I don't think there's any – and on top of that, you know, where you go could be even worse. Could be even worse.
I've gotten off of the wagon of, hey, there's no reason to push Mendenhall out the door because we don't have a good replacement. I'm not leaning on that argument anymore. If he's not the right coach, he's not the right coach. You go find somebody else. You go try something else if you know that this situation isn't going to work.
Right.
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 Now, has he hit his ceiling? I don't know. Is there somebody out there that we might be able to land that could do better? A coordinator at North Texas who was once a graduate assistant at BYU, or some of these other names that get thrown out there that I think are a little bit more realistic than the Andy Reids and the, you know, and some of these other things that get tossed out. I mean, I really don't know.
Steve Sarkisian.
Oh, geez. And then that would be awesome, but obviously never going to happen. But, you know, But when you go to what Papenga wrote in the Deseret News today, this position of Broncos one of the top five coaches in all of in the game, it's a very subjective thing to say.
Highly subjective. Sure. Yeah, definitely.
And when you read what he's saying here, he's clearly not talking about this strictly in terms of wins and losses.
No, he is not. He is not. And one of the things that I think has been said by some of the reporters that I really respect is Bronco will keep his job because the board of directors likes what he does with the program.
Yep.
And they're the ones that decide. Whenever I see boosters are trying to force out Bronco, and that's part of somebody's reasoning, I don't think they understand how BYU operates. I don't think they understand that this is not the University of Arkansas or Alabama, where the boosters are the most powerful group in the room, where even the athletic director and the board of directors are, in a certain extent, at their whim. That is not BYU. There's boosters that wanted Lavelle out, for heaven's sakes. You know what I mean? Back in the day. Boosters are not going to make the call here. Boosters are not going to orchestrate Whittingham coming to BYU. That's not how BYU works. You know, it's just, you want a school that works that way, you're going to have to root for a different team. Because that's not BYU. Anyway, let me see here, Matt. Also on the Twitter machine, of course, this past week was the Big 12.
Yes!
Going back
this
to
is
the
one
Big
of my
12.
Favorite ones.
So there have been several pieces in like the Kansas City newspaper, Oklahoma, other places, where BYU has been listed as either the top choice of said reporter or one of the top three or four choices for Big 12 expansion. Does that affect how you think this plays out at all? Or is that just reporters who of angry Big 12 fans making news and grabbing eyeballs? Not literally. That would be gross.
That would be hard to do, but there was once a picture of Tavernari getting his eyeballs grabbed.
Yeah, there Google you go. That. There you go. Google that.
I think we're at a point in the football season, in the kind of college sports season, where basketball is about just barely getting into conference schedules. There's only a couple games a day to talk about. There's not a lot else to do. So people
right.
get into these tangential conversations. This is off-season talk. That's all this is.
Yes, I think it is. I mean, the folks make good arguments for it, right? And I think that's interesting, you know, about why they would pick this team or why they would pick that team. And I think the Big 12 is going to take their time.
Yeah.
Deciding on what to do with this, because I don't think they have the panic that everybody seems to think that they have.
No, listen, they're looking at this from a, you know, 30,000 foot view. They're not basing this on getting into the playoffs in a single year. They're not, even if they were to pick teams, they're not going to decide based on that team's 2014 performance. That's not how this works.
No.
It's not that knee-jerk.
No, and nor should it be. Would you, if you were a fan of a Big 12 team, would you want them to do that?
I feel like there are vocal groups that would love to see them do something now. I mean,
oh, yeah,
that's,
sure.
That's like the cry of the masses, right? So somebody's got to do something. You know, look at this travesty. Someone's got to do something about this. But you know, and I'm not lauding the leadership of the Big 12 in any way, but one of the things of any effective leader, in my opinion, in a situation like this, is to not panic and just do the quick, easy thing that
yes.
placates the loud, freaked out masses.
Yes. That
you gotta
being
step
said,
back and make the right decision.
That being said, I think they are going to expand eventually.
Yes, they will eventually. Absolutely.
I don't know when, and I don't know who, but I think they will end up. I would think they will end up expanding, and you know, a lot of things make sense when you look at them. Quite frankly, there are a lot of scenarios that people have painted out where I've read them and go, "Huh, that makes sense." I mean, heck, even I've seen Colorado State and us floated as a pair. You know, I'm not sure that makes a ton of sense, but, you know, in the end, the Big 12 is going to do what they think is best for the Big 12. My gosh, the Big 10 added freaking Rutgers and Maryland.
Oh, my gosh.
And could you have seen that coming? So I think one of the things is think sometimes people want to put absolute reason behind this, but their reason, right? When the Big 10, they wanted access to East Coast markets for both recruiting and more primarily for television, right? The Big 12 is going to make their decision based on the criteria that they align, that they line up and decide on, right? I think BYU ends up in the Big 12 eventually as well, but
there was also a different environment around that Big 10 expansion where it was musical chairs, and I think there was a lot of panic. Nobody
yes.
wanted to be left without a seat when the music stopped.
Yes,
and so people were. There was a lot. That was a weird time, and
that was a very
I think
weird
we're
time.
I think we're still coming out of that a little bit. As you know, I think college football is still kind of on the tail end of that, and that's probably what is driving a lot of people's opinions around what the Big 12 ought to do and what teams they're going to pull in and these types of things. But I think on the flip side of that, if you're the Big 12, you've been able to look at, and I think you bring up a really good example with the Big 10. The goal there was to get these TV markets. We want the DC market. We want the New York, New Jersey market. But we'll call it that. But really what we're after is New York. Nobody in New York cares about Rutgers.
No. Or New Jersey.
No, nobody cares. And in DC, you got a decent Maryland following in the DC area. You might be able to sell me on that. Maybe. But even when you look at basketball programs, because you're doing it, it's a basketball move, right, Maryland?
Yes.
Because you're not capturing the DC TV market with Maryland football.
No, you're not.
But maybe in hoops, but back up. You know, you got Georgetown, there's some other programs in the area there. So I don't know that you're going to dominate that market with that team anyway. And if you're the Big 12, you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, these are the criteria they laid out and this is what they did. Maybe that stuff didn't really marry up. Let's be really careful about what our criteria are and make sure that lines up with what it is with the action that we take here. And I think that kind of leads me to believe that this is going to be a lot slower than we'd like it to be. But I think something gives here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think that something does change in the next couple of years. Matt, let's go back to the BYU coaching staff for a second. Percent chance that Nick Howell is calling plays defensively for BYU next year. Don't answer with your heart. Answer with your head.
50.
I'd say less than 50. I think, here's the thing. Bronco, I don't know about him being one of the top five coaches in college football. No offense, Brady Papinga. I will tell you this. I think he might be one of the top five defensive coordinators, defensive play caller.
In college football?
Yeah. I mean, what he's done with, now granted, there were some talent on those teams, NFL talent, but I think he knows defensive scheming really, really well, and I think he does it really, really well. So I think he needs to be back calling the plays defensively, and I hope that's what happens, and I think that's what will happen next year. Whether Nick Howell will be the defensive coordinator or still with the program in any capacity, I don't know. But the defense was embarrassing, quite frankly. One of the worst we've had, the worst defense probably he's had, or close to it, and certainly a big reason why BYU lost five games this year.
Yep.
So I think something's got to change there. Do you suspect there'll be any major changes on the coaching staff, or do you think we'll pretty much offensively and mostly have the same people we have?
You know, I felt like at the end of the season, you know, especially watching the end of the bowl game, I was in a place where I thought, well, you know, Hal's going to get fired. We'll go find somebody else to come in and run the defense. You know, and maybe some of these other positions are going to switch around. But I look at it now and I think Hal maybe gets demoted, won't be calling the defensive plays anymore. Maybe Bronco takes that back over. I think any other changes that take place on the staff will be the result of somebody finding a new job and leaving.
Yes.
You know, Atuaya made a comment on Twitter about, you know, having some type of opportunities or a lot to think about or something, and people have really been, you know, reading into and feeding off of that. And you know, might there be a couple of people on the staff that leave? Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily abnormal.
No.
Or anything to be concerned about. You know, but especially when some guys on the BYU staff have connections to people that have moved into new jobs.
Yeah.
So I think that there might be some changes as a result of that, but I don't know if I see a mass firing. You know, maybe with the exception of the possibility that Hal steps down / gets fired and leaves BYU football, I don't know that I really see any other ones coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I agree with you, Matt. Well, Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people listening to this as they celebrate the New Year.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping that you ring in the New Year with the podcast.
With the podcast. Just wait. This is too late to say it. Maybe I'll say it in the intro. Wait until New Year's Eve and then put us on so you can really party like it's 1999.
Like a rock star. Because that's what we do on this podcast.
You and I were together in 1999 in Boston, if I recall.
We were. New Year's Eve in Boston. That was a fun one.
That was a blast.
That was a really fun one, the more I think about it.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun that year. Wasn't it you, me, and our brother Sam?
Yep.
Wasn't it just the three of us?
It was just the three of us. Oh, that was hilarious.
That was a good time. That was a good time.
It was the three of us and that one couple that was just
absolutely
really,
plastered.
Really inebriated.
Yes.
Oh. I mean, we didn't know this. For those of you listening, we didn't know these people. They just started talking to us while we were waiting for the fireworks to start. And it got weird and funny. That was a great night.
Yeah, they had decided to drink the extra alcohol for the three Mormon in the audience with them.
Oh, I think they were drinking enough alcohol for a lot more than that.
So you weren't there the next year. The next year, I got married and we had a reception in Massachusetts, and it was around New Year's. And so my in-laws stay in downtown Boston, and they're looking out, have great seat for the fireworks in their hotel. It's the Trade Building, that's now Marriott. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're sitting out there watching him. But in that year, you were on your mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
The barge got started. There was a fire on the barge. So
awesome!
Only one firework went off, and then they doused it with water. The rest of the barge. So there was no fireworks show, and I had been playing up because the year before the fireworks show had been awesome.
It was amazing.
It was awesome, and so I had been playing it up with my in-laws. And one firework goes off, and because we're where we are, there's no explanation. It's just one firework goes off and then nothing.
Yeah, this is before the days of Twitter and all this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's no, the internet was in its infancy, my friend. It was sucking on pacifier. I'm not editing it out, but that's terrible.
That's a very strange analogy.
So my father-in-law, hey, I've got a seven-month-old, all right?
Yeah, that's
where that's coming from. But my father-in-law looks over at me and is like, that's a great fireworks show. And then walks back into his room. I'm like, great. Thanks, boss city of Boston.
He's like, wow, my daughter married this guy.
Married this clown. He thinks one firework is a great show.
What a dork.
Well, the truth is she did marry a clown. I mean, let's be honest. I've been called worse.
I've called you worse. Yeah. I may have even called you worse today.
Yeah, maybe. I may have to go back in the podcast and look. But everybody have a happy new year. Hope for awesome things for the Cougars in 2015. I'm still, as always, optimistic. Especially if Jim Harbaugh becomes the coach of the Michigan, it's going to be pretty awesome. I'll be there.
Oh boy.
I'm going to get there. I don't know how. I'm going to be wearing khakis in honor of the Harbaugh. Thanks for downloading and listening. Check us out on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. Email us adam@loyalcougars.com, matt@loyalcougars.com. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!